Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents This Isn't Working For Me, a practical guide for making every relationship in your life more fulfilling, authentic, and intentional. By Eileen S. Cohen, Ph.D., and Adrika D. Richardson, Ph.D. Narrated by Diana Blue. Publisher's Note. This audiobook includes bonus material. Please visit tantor.com and type "This isn't working for me" into the search box. Follow the link to the book's page. Then, under the supplemental content section, please enter the access code REFLECT. And then, click the unlock button to access the bonus material. The code should be entered in all lowercase letters. All diagrams and the list of symbols referenced in this audiobook can be found in the bonus material. Introduction. Why can't you just get along? Growing up, many of us heard this phrase when we were fighting with a sibling. We may have even used it with our own children. Wouldn't it be nice if getting along with others were that easy? There is no way around it. Relationships, even the best and closest ones, are challenging. Most of us want to prevent drama and pain in our relationships, yet somehow remain stuck in a cycle that feels too hard to stop. So hard, in fact, that it might seem easier to decide we are done with people, or at least with a particular person, rather than try any longer. However, relationships are an essential part of being human. Regardless of social class, gender, sexual orientation, race, or religion, we are all social and emotional beings connected to the people in our lives today and to the generations who came before us. The interconnection between ourselves and our loved ones can feel magical and rich when everyone gets along. However, when we are negatively triggered in our relationships, it can create an emotional reactivity that leads to unhealthy responses. These unhealthy responses make it almost impossible to just get along, because they are created when our anxiety is heightened. When our anxiety is high, our logical brains get hijacked, rendering our thoughts and behavior irrational. Anxiety is part of the survival instinct in every living thing. It's our built-in alarm system that helps keep us alive. Anxiety is a natural and appropriate response to a perceived threat. Even though the human brain has evolved to a higher level of thinking, our survival instinct is the same as it's always been. If anything, it's become even more alert to dangers other than immediate threats to our physical safety. After all, since most of us do not need to constantly worry about dangers like being attacked by a wild animal in our modern era, we're more aware of our higher-level human needs, such as our sense of purpose, value, and meaning, as well as our need for love and emotional security. Given that our relationships play an essential role in fulfilling these needs, a threat to our relationships can bring up just as much anxiety as a threat to our very existence. Instinctive ways of managing relationship anxiety can include yelling or using harmful language, physically or emotionally cutting off communication with certain people, ignoring our own needs in order to maintain a relationship, drinking or using drugs to deal with the problems in our relationships, or brushing conflict under the rug to avoid facing the issues. These behaviors derive from our instinctive fight, flight, freeze, and fawn responses, which are activated when we perceive a threat to our survival. One reason we can't just get along is that our relationship difficulties are often exaggerated by how we respond to situations when we're anxious, leading to even greater stress and difficulty in our relationships. This book will teach you how you can respond less from anxiety and more from logic when you feel threatened in your relationships. One way of working on this is understanding how interconnected you are to the people in your life, such as your family, friends, coworkers, and community, and how this interconnectedness has both benefits and downfalls. Who we are. Dr. Eileen S. Cohen. Dr. Eileen has studied, written about, and worked with individuals, couples, and families for over 15 years. She believes that no matter the presenting problem, people can benefit by working on themselves in relation to their family of origin. Dr. Eileen knows the importance of this work through her personal life and professional career. She does not see her clients as having internal, psychological problems, but as humans struggling to live independently while remaining connected with others. Dr. Edrika D. Richardson, Dr. E., has studied, written about, and worked with individuals, couples, and families for over 17 years. She identifies herself as a relationship therapist because she sees the client's presenting problem relationally and contextually. She believes that as you better understand your interactions with the people and things in your life, you get to know yourself better. Dr. E knows that change starts with understanding how vital it is to show up to therapy with every part of ourselves, including our family history and our personal experiences. The complex dilemma of navigating human relationships. Humans, like all other mammals, need each other to survive. We are social beings at our core. Our brains are hardwired for connection, community, and loving relationships. From infancy onward, we rely on each other to fulfill our needs for care, tenderness, emotional support, and emotional and spiritual growth. We thrive the most when we are connected to and supported by each other, and we suffer when these connections and support are not available to us. However, many of us are never adequately taught how to create or maintain these connections throughout life. Relationships are complex because each one is different. Each of us brings our own biology, perspective, feelings, and behaviors into each relationship, along with rational and irrational ideas of what the relationship should look like. As we grow, the perspectives we gain alter our relationships, requiring us to constantly relearn how to navigate our relationships and ourselves within them. One of the main messages of this book is that our relationships, especially the ones we find most challenging, play a crucial role in our growth and self-improvement. Whatever emotionally triggers us or makes us anxious around someone else is telling us something about ourselves. If we can reframe relationship problems as opportunities to grow, change, and mature, we have a chance to solve our biggest challenges with calm minds rather than pre-programmed emotional reactions. Building fulfilling relationships ultimately comes down to making changes within yourself that change your connections to others. Your relationship itinerary. It's hard to overstate the value of therapy when working to improve your most difficult relationships. There are so many benefits to speaking with a neutral person who understands human behavior and relationships. However, books like this one are helpful as a supplement to therapy or as an alternative for people who cannot commit to treatment due to time or financial constraints. To help you better understand the thought behind the guidance provided in this book, we've outlined some of the different therapeutic treatment modalities that influence our clinical approach. Bowen Family Systems Theory. Bowen Family Systems Theory considers an individual's behavior through the context of their family and relationships. The theory posits that emotional behaviors within a family unit are connected, meaning that one person's emotions, thoughts, and behaviors can affect everyone else within that unit. When we understand our family and the interactional patterns within it, we can see our part of the problem in a current relationship and decide what we would like to do differently. One of the critical concepts of Bowen Family Systems Theory is an understanding of the importance of differentiation of self, that is, the ability to function as an individual while being a part of a group. Differentiation is key to balancing individuality and togetherness within a relationship. It permits a person to operate independently while also being emotionally involved with others. Bowen therapists coach their clients in being more of an autonomous self in all their relationships. Attachment theory. Attachment is a deep and lasting emotional bond between people. Attachment theory explains how the parent-child relationship develops and how it influences a child's growth as an individual. John Bowlby developed this theory to describe how our early relationships with primary caregivers create our ideas of what love looks like. Our view of ourselves and other people is formed by how well our caregivers provided safety and security for us as infants, and how available and responsive they were to meet our needs. The four attachment patterns identified by this theory are secure, avoidant, ambivalent, and disorganized. Secure attachment to caregivers provides protection and comfort while allowing for autonomy and the exploration of one's environment. It is marked later in life by an ability to be interdependent, that balance of intimacy and independence. Securely attached children adapt the best to life's changes and transitions. The Gottman Method. The Gottman Method is an empirically researched method of couples therapy that focuses on increasing closeness and friendship in intimate relationships, resolving conflict, and creating shared meaning in life. A Gottman therapist typically applies the principles from Gottman's research to each couple's unique patterns and problems. Even though these principles are usually utilized in couples' work, they can help any close relationship flourish. Latest research on relationships. In addition to the treatment modalities we've just listed, we draw from the latest research on relationships, including findings from neuroscience on what happens to our brains when we are emotionally triggered in our relationships, and how to calm our reactive brains so that we can be more responsive. We also include information from social science on the value of vulnerability and connection. How to use this book. This Isn't Working for Me is an interactive guide that offers step-by-step strategies for improving the relationships in your life. Each chapter explains the stages of growth in a healthy, fulfilling relationship and offers exercises, reflective questions, and eye-opening secrets to help you implement and integrate what you have learned. Our goal is to give you tools for seeing yourself and your relationships in a new way so you can feel empowered and have more flexibility in your relationships. This frees you to be yourself and to respond to others in more effective ways. We encourage you to approach this book and its activities with an open mind and to bring your personal truth to the surface as you work through it. The better you can understand yourself, the more authentically you can respond to the people you're in relationship with. We wish you clarity on this new journey. We are right here with you along the way. Part 1. Understanding Relationships. When engaging in any change process, it is essential to hold on to the reasons for your effort and the goals you have in mind. In this first section of the book, we will explore why relationships are important, what healthy relationships look like, and why they are worth the effort even when they are not easy. Once you fully understand the importance of fulfilling relationships and why they can be hard to achieve, you will feel motivated to continue this life-enriching work. Chapter 1. The Truth About Fulfilling Relationships. The fact that you chose this book tells us that you already get how important relationships are, though you may not know precisely why. Forming relationships is an automatic behavior for human beings. Something within us knows that relationships foster happiness and lifelong fulfillment. At least, we believe that they are supposed to. It's true that relationships are crucial for the quality of our lives. In fact, relationships have been essential to our very survival as a species. Over time, the safety in numbers principle that allowed families and communities to protect their members evolved into an emotional interdependence that can promote happiness and serve as a resource for us in tough times. Our connections with the people we love can delay or prevent the onset of mental and physical health concerns and are better predictors of life satisfaction than social class, IQ, or genetics. A 75-year longitudinal Harvard study supported this by showing that happiness and lifelong fulfillment were connected to the quality of the participants' closest relationships. The study also demonstrated that the participants who were most satisfied in their relationships at age 50 were the healthiest at age 80. Our relationships are a primary influence on our life experiences, shaping who we become and how we see the world. In particular, our earliest relationships influence how we interact with the people that become our friends, coworkers, employees, lovers, or neighbors. If you think about it, we cannot fully know who we are or be known for who we are until we are in relationship with others. Despite all these benefits, the pain that relationships have caused you may be overshadowing their benefits and worth. While many people understand that our past, specifically our childhood, impacts who we become, few understand that our struggles today are caused not by our past experiences in and of themselves, but by our tendency to recreate the past in our present relationships. What is the meaning of relationships? A relationship is an ongoing series of interactions between people. We usually think of them as being between two people, but they can be interactions among more than two people. Two people who are significant to each other may go through many interactions in a day. For example, a married couple may have hundreds of different interactions in the same day. Over time, people develop interactional patterns in relationships that create their expectations, feelings, and emotional reactivity to each other. Bowen's family systems theory teaches that relationships are a developing process of interaction open to continuous modification. In this book, you will learn more about this development process, what it means for your relationships with others, and how you can modify your interactions with others. Have you ever noticed that you can think more clearly and be more yourself when you're alone or with people who don't trigger you? Bowen's theory explains that our relationships impact our inner world more than our inner world affects our relationships. While we are our own individuals, our relationships serve as a context that influences how we feel inside and how we behave in connection to another person. The more intimate or emotionally significant the relationship, the more it affects and impacts our internal selves. This impact begins with our very first relationships, that is, the ones we form as infants with our caregivers. The information we gather in our earliest relationships is at the heart of a rich and complex brain-building process. In early brain development, experience creates expectation, which changes perception. As a baby experiences responses from their caregivers, their brain starts to form expectations for how they will be treated and how they should respond. For example, if the caregivers consistently respond to the baby's cries by holding them close, speaking in a soothing tone, and meeting their needs for milk, a diaper change, and so on, the child feels comforted and learns to expect similar responses in the future. As repeated similar experiences strengthen these expectations, the child's brain forms perceptions of their social and emotional world. These perceptions influence how they understand their environment, relate to others, and engage in learning. While a child's relationship with their mother is typically the most important in this process, many relationships shape a child's developing perceptions. Parents, step-parents, grandparents, siblings, cousins, aunts, uncles, close family friends, teachers, and others who are significantly present in the child's life. Ultimately, the interactional patterns created in these initial relationships construct certain expectations, feelings, and emotional reactivity that the child carries forward as they grow, including how that child is attracted to future relationships. With each new relationship, patterns are reinforced and the child's perceptions are deepened. For example, if your role in your family growing up was to be the fixer, the person who broke up fights between your parents, you would likely automatically continue that behavior when you were triggered by instability or difficulty in a relationship later in life. Your part in the interactional cycle of your family led you to see yourself as the person who must take on the responsibilities, emotions, well-being, and needs of those around you, whether they want you to or not, in order to calm things down. That pattern of giving up your autonomy in the hope of creating stability in your relationships may repeat in some or all of the close relationships you experience throughout your life. As you listen to this book, you will come to better understand the part you play in your relationships, whether it is the fixer or another role you have inherited. Along with seeing clearly the interactional patterns you find yourself repeating, you'll learn the benefits of making changes to the role you're used to playing in your close relationships. What is the goal of relationships? When you think about it, this is a very complex question to ask. As we've already established, relationships are essential to human life. While the most obvious goal of having relationships may be our survival, as individuals and as a species through reproduction, various scientists have said that humans' advanced brains have developed mainly as a result of the relationship process and the complexities of our interactions with others. In other words, the goal of relationships is to develop how we think, feel, and behave. This means that ultimately, your goals for your relationships are yours to define from one season of your life to the next. In the therapy setting, we often encounter people who believe that relationships cannot change, particularly relationships that are not going the way they hoped. What they mean is that they are stuck in a pattern that they can't break out of. We agree that some patterns are deeply complicated and difficult to change. But even a stuck relationship can improve if one or both people in it find a way to make a small change in the part they play in the interactional pattern and learn to sustain that change across time. As you work through this book, you will look closely at the interactional patterns you have with significant people in your life. When an interaction gets tense, our tendency is to focus on the other person. Our relationship is in trouble because they do this or are that way. This is where the internal change comes in. If you can change your part in the interaction and sustain that change, the other person has no choice but to respond in a different way from before. Two people cannot stay in the same dance if one person changes their moves. If you do something outside the established pattern, both of you now have a different pattern and a changed relationship. Of course, this is easier said than done. Before moving on, it's important to explain a distinction that many of our clients get confused about. We are not making changes within ourselves so that we can change the other person. Instead, we are making changes to the interactional pattern in ways that benefit ourselves and the relationship. Doing this work on yourself does not guarantee the other person will change their behaviors. And if they don't, it does not mean that you are to blame. You only have control over yourself and the changes you are willing to make. In particular, the change from automatically reacting to relationship distress to managing your emotional reactivity with the understanding you've gained about yourself and your patterns within relationships. Important note, this book will challenge you to take an honest look at how your actions may be contributing to patterns in your relationships with others. However, we want to make it clear that you are not responsible for the other person's actions or causing them to behave as they do. This is especially important to remember if the other person is experiencing addiction or being abusive toward you in any way, physically, sexually, verbally, emotionally, financially, spiritually, or otherwise. If this is the case for you, or if you're questioning whether it might be, we encourage you to seek further counsel from a trusted therapist, support group, hotline, or shelter. Ultimately, you will still need to change your own behavior, as this is the only thing truly within your control. But you may decide that your goal is to set new boundaries, reduce contact, or end the relationship, rather than attempting to repair or deepen the connection. Your safety, health, and well-being are of the utmost importance. Diving into your ideas about relationships. How you think about relationships is shaped by many variables, starting with your overall upbringing, your family's ideas and beliefs about relationships, how your parents or caregivers interacted, the TV shows and movies you watched, the books you read, and the community you lived in. Taking all those variables into account, think about what relationships mean to you. What were your most prominent relationships growing up? From whom did you learn the most about relationships? How do your family of origin's ideas about relationships influence you now? Write down some of your reflections. What are healthy relationships? While all relationships are different, there are key characteristics that distinguish relationships that are healthy from those that are unhealthy. Healthy relationships of any kind, whether romantic, friend, or familial relationships, involve trust, authenticity, respect, open communication, effort, and collaboration. Trust is critical to any healthy relationship because trust is the basis for lasting psychological connectedness. Research suggests that your early attachment style, how you form solid emotional bonds, influences your ability to trust others. As we have stated, relationship experiences from early in life help shape your expectations for future relationships. If your past connections have been secure, stable, and trusting, you are more likely to have trust in future relationships. If your past relationships were unstable, unpredictable, and undependable, you might have to work on some trust injuries while listening to this book. Authenticity goes hand in hand with trust. After all, it is tough to trust a partner or friend who is not fully honest about who they are or what they've done. While relationships have varying levels of openness and self-disclosure, you should never feel like you have to hide or change who you are to be in a relationship. A healthy relationship supports you in feeling that you can be your true and authentic self. Being open and honest with each other not only helps people feel more connected in any relationship, but also helps sustain relational trust. Respect in relationships requires each person to offer support and security to the others. Showing respect for one another includes active listening, not procrastinating when asked to do something important, being understanding and honest, building each other up, showing appreciation, and having empathy for one another. Open communication is the heart of all healthy relationships. Remaining respectful and empathetic as the other person discusses their thoughts and feelings, even when these are not what you expected or wanted to hear, is a sign of a healthy communication and resolution. Since even the best relationships involve conflict, knowing how to argue and resolve differences respectfully is much better than simply avoiding arguments to keep the peace. Effort. Dedicating energy, time, and thoughtfulness to benefit another person is an essential component of any healthy relationship. Warm feelings alone cannot sustain a relationship. These feelings must be outwardly demonstrated through affirming words, time spent together, and support for each other's
Sample complete. Ready to continue?